Hey, we got plenty of time here. Trust me, this is going to get going. All right. What's up, hockey fans? Welcome to the first edition of Pass the Puck. I am Hunter Franklin, a.k.a. Coyote Central, and I'm joined with Taryn and Matt.
Hey, guys. Straight out of Calgary, also known as Taryn Jote. I'm 15. I started my page in 2014. I've known these guys for almost a year now, and on to you, Matt.
Hey guys, I'm Matt. I run All Preds. I started my account in late June 2017.
All right, so we can cut the audio there, and then I'm just gonna get right into the main subject of today.
Yeah, okay.
Because we can all edit this crap out. All right, guys, thanks for the introductions. We are actually without NHL Pens today, and we are without NHL Sens and NHL Confession. So we are just kind of running on empty, but we're going to get through this show. We'll look forward to having them next time. Anyway, the main topic for today's show, we are going to be going over really the Philadelphia Flyers as they have fired their head coach, Hackstall, and Hart has made his NHL debut in net. What do you guys think about this?
I think Hackstall had it coming. He was struggling with the team, and he basically didn't take them anywhere. The team was struggling from the start of the season. They had one of the best, worst records in the NHL, sitting dead last behind...
I asked my question just fine, so yeah. Just go into your answer again.
Okay. Hackstall had this coming for like 2 months now. He took the team to a downfall. The Flyers changed their goalies at least 5 times over the last 3 months, and I think he had this coming.
What do you think, Matt?
Well, Hackstall, like, he never brought the team anywhere. I mean, even though he guided them to 2 playoff appearances, they never really got anywhere. They lost to the Penguins and the Rangers. And, cut out the Rangers. Hextall was really what led up to this.
All right, hopefully we can edit that part a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, just my view on it, I think the Flyers have such a great hockey team, and I think the fans there expected a lot more of the season out of them, and they just haven't got it. I mean, you look at the skill on that team with Giroux, Voracek, Gostisbehere. Obviously, they've struggled in goaltending, and we're going to get to that with Hart. But I think the team was well-built. They have a ton of young defensemen. This team should definitely be higher up in the standings than where they are at right now. So I really think that Flyers fans were on it, and I think the team could be doing so much better. And with this new coach, I think they can do better. And obviously, given Hart now a chance, what do you guys think on Hart's first game?
Hart played really well last night for his first game. He was calm and collective. I watched the last period of the game. Some of the saves he made were actually really good. And I think he can lead this team somewhere over the next few years. And Flyers fans should be happy as it looks like they have found their starting goaltender.
What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I didn't watch any of the game, but looks like he played pretty good. It was nice to see that he had his family there in attendance to see his first start. Congratulations to Scott Gordon for getting his first win as the Flyers' interim head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you guys think of him as an interim head coach, by the way?
Nothing as of yet, but going forward, I think he can lead this team to, like, maybe a wild card spot, but I think that's a long shot at this point. So, like, yeah.
For me, I think it's a little bit too early to comment on that just because he's only coached 1 game. But he has a chance of becoming the permanent head coach in Philadelphia.
Well, hopefully the Flyers players obviously buy into his coaching just as of now as the interim head coach. But like you mentioned, Matt, how his family was in attendance, Hart's family was in attendance, and his parents got emotional, and that was really great to see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think that covers the first segment. We can cut that. Now let's get to around the NHL. Let's have you start this part out, Matt. So I'll bring it in and just say the next segment. You can come in with your 2 points.
What
is Matt starting the look
around? Yeah, he'll I'll talk about around the NHL and just say here's some news around the NHL, and then Matt will get into it. Let's see.
Okay.
Because I think you had three Flames, didn't you?
So, no,
I had two. I had the Canes and the Preds.
I had Tommy Hawk and Ovechkin.
All right, yeah. My bad. I was looking at it wrong. I thought you had three there for a second, Flames. All right, so it'll go Matt, then I'll go, and then you can go Flames.
Okay.
All right. And next, hockey fans, we have around the NHL. We're just going to kind of touch on some little fun stories, maybe a little more serious, just some things that have been going around the league at the moment. So Duchesne was playing guitar, covering some country songs. What did you guys think about that?
It was actually funny. He was with this band in Ottawa. I forgot their name, but watching like two or three videos, he actually sounded good, and yeah.
He's got music in his blood, that's for sure. He's definitely a pretty big guitar player, and he loves his country music.
Mm-hmm.
Should come to Nashville.
All right, Matt, what do you have to say?
To be honest, I actually didn't see the video, so I...
No. All right, I'm going to say this again. You go into your parts. Or do you... Here, actually, never mind. I'll touch on Berglund on waivers, and we'll go into your parts. My bad.
Good.
All right. And as of other news, Berglund landed on the waiver list, waiver wire. So what do you guys think about this? I think it's pretty huge, and I kind of want the Coyotes to pick this guy up.
I think it's kind of his fault. He missed a practice, and then he just didn't show up for the game. Like, they had a flight the next day, and he didn't show up. And then they suspended him for, like, indefinitely for, like, the rest of the season. And they basically put him down for the waivers for the termination of his contract. And, yeah, I think he was that one piece that couldn't really find it with Buffalo after that trade for Ryan O'Reilly. But I think a team can get him, and he can help them out a lot.
Yeah, I hope it was just the player and the team and, like, the coaching staff not seeing eye to eye. Hopefully it just wasn't, like, Berglund himself just kind of being a jerk about it.
Yeah.
That teams are still willing to go out and pick him up, because obviously he has a huge record in St. Louis, and I think he can be a piece on any other team. So let's hope that wherever he goes, if he does land on another team, that he can make an improvement to his game, maybe his character as well. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I think the lesson is here is that you have to be loyal to your team. And he never did anything like this when he was with the Blues. So here in Buffalo, I don't know if it's a problem with teammates in the locker room. I don't know if there was a problem with management. But you got to be loyal to your team. You got to show up the games. You got to show up the practices. And, you know, he deserved to be put on waivers because of that.
Yep, I agree. Opinion.
Yeah.
All right, Flames, what did you have?
I have one of the funniest moments of this week. Tommy Hawk fighting another fan in the concession stands. How do you feel?
I saw that video. That was definitely interesting. I really wonder what riled him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I wonder what fan that was. I forgot who they were versing.
Because the fan's important here.
Because he got a butt whooping, man, by a mascot.
Don't mess with mascots. They're dangerous.
Yeah.
That franchise is falling apart.
Oh, my gosh. All right, what else do you got?
And the other thing around the NHL is Alex Ovechkin's hot streak as of late. He leads the league in goals with 29. He had back-to-back hat-tricks, and he's on pace at this point in time for 71 goals.
Mm. Which is insane.
Yeah.
The guy can shoot the puck and he can score. I mean, we all know that watching Alexander Ovechkin.
For like how many years since we were like little kids?
A long time.
Yeah. The grade eight.
Matt, what did you have?
So my two examples are just examples of how hockey players are just the greatest people in the world. So earlier this week, the Carolina Hurricanes, they took some young kids in their area to Target to buy gifts, do a little Christmas shopping for their family and friends. And also the Nashville Predators, they visited Vanderbilt Children's Hospital also this past week, spreading some holiday cheer to some sick kids.
Yeah, I love to see this out of teams. The Coyotes, a couple of weeks ago, they visited the Phoenix Children's Hospital. They just kind of lighten the mood in the building, and it's just great to see hockey players take the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and looking back, like, over the last 2 or 3 months, there's been a bunch of stories of players that do this. Like, right now, the Canes, like, they had 4 players. I know one of them was Hunter's favorite player, Jordan Martinook. And they had Dougie Hamilton, Michael Ferland, Jordan Martinook, and I forget the other person. But all these players take the time out of their busy lives to help these children that don't have the opportunities to, like, buy stuff for their families or, like, they're less fortunate. So, mm-hmm. like, I think hockey players are one of the best people out there in major sports to, like, help kids out. And, yeah.
All right, that was perfect, guys. That was a little news, some fun, lighthearted stories around the NHL. And we're on to Pass the Puck, our own original segment. And I'm going to ask you guys, do you guys want to pass or do you want to shoot? We'll start with you, Matt.
I'll shoot. Why not?
You'll shoot? All right, let's see. Would you rather have Hart or Demko when it comes to prospect goalies? Oof.
I'll take Carter Hart.
Oh, wow.
I've heard a lot of good stuff about him, not so much about Demko. So
I'm kind of a Demko fan, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, same with me. Demko.
I do like Hart, though. They're both going to be amazing goaltenders. You know that.
Yeah.
All right, what do you want, Taryn? Do you want to shoot or do you want to pass?
I'll bite on the shoot.
All right. Would you rather have Ovechkin's shot or McDavid's speed?
Ooh, that's a hard one.
We were just talking about Alexander Ovechkin. Let's bring McDavid into the equation.
Let's think. Blazing around opponents or sniping the puck almost every single game past a goaltender? I'll take sniping the puck like Ovi.
All right.
You don't get that type of shot naturally. Like, Ovechkin, we've seen him play for almost 10 years now. That shot hasn't changed.
Over 10 years
now. That one tee, like, goddamn, who wouldn't want that?
That one tee on the top of the circle on the power play, I'm scared. Oof. When I see him play the Coyotes and Hammer has the balls to go out there, Jalmerson, he just seems blocks the shy freaking... Yeah. I applaud that, man, because that takes a lot of guts to be able to go out and just block that guy's shot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to you, Matt.
Pass, I'm going to shoot. I'm going to one. I'm going to shoot pass. Once again.
Shoot once again. All right. Would you rather have a good seat to your least favorite team or bad seats to your favorite team?
Bad seats to my favorite team.
Yeah, I do that too.
Same.
Yeah. Why would you want to go to a team that you exactly hate, but you have the best seats? It makes no sense. Like, I'd rather watch my team in the worst seats in the arena. Like, yeah.
I personally think that there's no bad seats in an arena, to be honest.
True.
But I don't know about you guys' arena, but when I'm sitting anywhere in Gila River Arena, I get a good view anywhere, so I enjoy it.
Yeah, all of the seats at the Saddle Dome are pretty nice, too, but once you get up to the press level, it's like one of the worst levels at the Saddle Dome. Kinda. You can't really see the rink a lot, but they do have monitors up there that you can watch through, but it's just not as good.
All right, well, now you guys are going to have to be forced to pass. I'm sorry.
Oh.
All right, Karen.
Okay.
You got to choose between either – you have to trade one player and you have to keep one player between these two players sent in by fans.
Okay.
So are you going to either keep Bobby Ryan – wait, hold on. All right, I'm going to start this over. I explained myself. I'm just going to have to tell you the two players.
Bobby Ryan, I traded right away.
this is sent in by Daily Fans News. All right. But no one can know that. It's secret. We'll have to cut this part out. All right. You have to choose. Okay. I need to find a way to word this. I just wrote this like garbage on my paper. All right. Between these two players, you get to keep one and you have to trade one. So choose. You have Bobby Ryan and Cody Ceci. Who you trading? Who you keeping?
A bad contract or just a bad player? I'll trade Bobby Ryan.
Yep, I agree.
The guy's in his 30s, hand injuries on hand injuries, one of the worst contracts in the NHL right now. I'd trade him in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Me as well.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I haven't heard much of that out of that guy in a while since he was like back on Anaheim.
Yeah. He just All had right. Yeah.
Wait, what do you want to say?
I forgot. Let's just move on.
Yeah, we'll cut that part.
Yeah.
All right. Matt, you're forced to pass, bud.
All right.
All right, you gotta pick between these two players. Who you're gonna keep and who you're gonna trade? You got Pettersson and Barzal.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's tough.
Two insanely skilled hockey players.
That's tough.
We can cut this awkward silence.
Yeah.
You can take your time like you actually answered it quick.
So you got a rookie of the year finalist, or Calder Trophy, whatever the hell. And
we're probably going to have one this year.
Mm-hmm.
Being uh-huh. Pettersson.
Pettersson, and then he's lighting the lamp pretty much every game in Vancouver right now.
Barzal, I just haven't heard much of him. So, like,
you hear about the passes for Barzal, but you just don't.
Yeah,
you don't really see the goal scoring ability. But he does have some, and he does have the speed.
Yeah.
Although I love Barzal, I'm gonna have to trade him. I'll keep Elias Pettersson.
I agree.
Yeah, I do the same too. But at the same time, Barzal doesn't get as much as attention he likes. Like, people, they just don't talk about him a lot. Like, you don't hear about
him. Yeah, he hasn't really gotten the attention he's gotten this year compared to last year.
And then on the other hand, there's Elias Pettersson. You hear about him every single day. You go into Twitter, Instagram, there's always a post on him.
Yep.
But I choose Pettersson, so
I think we can all be in agreement on that.
Yeah.
All right, Taryn, you're forced to pass again. All right, who you train, who you keeping between Jimmy Howard and Jake Allen?
Ooh. Jimmy Howard, a 30-year-old bag of I don't even know.
Shit. Both of them.
And then there's Jake Allen, the totally elite goaltender at one point in time.
Quote, elite.
Yeah, quote, unquote.
When the Blues were good. Yeah,
actually good.
Even though they have the same team practically.
Yeah, basically. Right now, I'd take Jimmy Howard.
Oh, wow.
Just because of his experience and his leadership that he has in the locker room in Detroit and how well he's played throughout his career. Like, he's been consistent in his save percentage and his goals against. But I think in one instance, I would take Jake Allen, but, like, he's been inconsistent this year and I can't really see myself taking him over Jimmy Howard.
So you're going to trade Jake Allen?
Yes.
Well, hopefully you're not as crazy as the Detroit GM, because I don't think he can get a first pick out of that guy.
Yeah, probably.
For an Asian goaltender, I think he's insane, and that's why I personally would have Jake Allen on my team and ship out Jimmy Howard while I still can.
Yeah.
What do you think, Matt?
I got to go Howard as well. I mean, Allen struggled over the past few years. I mean, so has Howard, but, you know, with the experience that Howard has had with Detroit, I have to take him over Allen.
Yeah, and plus, last year was basically Carter Hutton who took control.
Yep.
Yeah, so, like, they should have traded Allen last year instead of letting go of Hutton.
What I don't like about the Blues is that they pretty much have the same exact team every year.
Yeah.
Like, when I look back to 2016, when they made it to the conference final, the players I think of when I see that team, they're still on the team today.
Yeah, like Alex.
You have to change. Yeah. You have to let go of some players to get better.
Mm-hmm. Like,
did they at least get a new head coach, though? Isn't that maybe one of the reasons why? I forgot, to be honest.
Their new head coach was hired last year, wasn't he? Mike Yeo. Oh, no, they fired him, didn't they?
Yeah. I'm not a Blues fan. I couldn't tell you.
I think they did.
No, like, when Hitchcock was the coach, they brought him on as an assistant to replace him the next year, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
But point is, the team just hasn't changed, and they're just kind of hoping that these players can still bring something, which, as of right now, I think they've looked a little better lately, but still, the rough start, it's kind of screwed them over.
Yeah, and now that the Blues are willing to trade Tarasenko, Pietrangelo, and all these players on their team, it just makes you wonder which direction the team might want to go. Rebuild, mm-hmm. or who knows?
Well, the way the offseason went with getting O'Reilly, it sounded like they wanted to be contenders, and it obviously hasn't turned out that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll have to see.
Looking in the offseason when they got O'Reilly, Bozak, getting Perron back, I had a feeling that this team had a shot at making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
definitely, yep. But then, like, jeopardizing your future for Ryan O'Reilly, like trading away Tage Thompson, I think that might be a huge blow, but who knows? Time will tell.
All right, you're welcome, stinking Blues fans, for having a question about Jimmy Howard and Jake Allen turn into a whole Blues spinoff. All right, that concludes Pass the Puck. On to Pucks in Deep. Who wants to share their first topic that we can all talk about?
How about Matt?
All right, I'll go first. What I want to talk about is the Flyers' goaltending situation. Should they eventually hire Scott Gordon to be their permanent head coach, or should they look off the map and hire somebody else?
I'll answer that first. I think Scott Gordon can stay on as a assistant coach, but like I think they should bite on the bait of Joel Quenneville, the man who led the Blackhawks to 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years, but kind of fell off the last 2 years. I think they should get him because a lot of teams are going to want him through the offseason in 2019. And I think they should try trading some of their goalies because, like, look at Neuwirth, look at Brian Elliott, look at Stolarz, look at Lyon. Like, I think they can get some good returns for 5 of those goalies.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly think they should just go off the book. I think they should just go off the book and just try to find someone else. I don't know if they maybe want to use an assistant coach or someone that they have in the system already, but I think they're kind of going to go off the books and just try to find someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cliff Fletcher actually needs to do something, though, with this team.
Mm-hmm. Well, firing the head coach was obviously a start, so.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go with the pucks in deep discussion, my next point. How do you guys feel about the Coyotes moving to the Central? This is a question for you, Hunter.
This is for me, Coyote Central.
Yep.
Because I got all those people commenting on my page about how your username makes sense now. Didn't seem nice at the time, though. I'm still not happy. Yeah. I think we belong in the Pacific, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm not going to complain anymore. It is what it is. Our travel costs are going to go up more for a team that's already struggling. It's kind of going to screw us over even more. I liked having the teams that we had in our Pacific Division. We had the California teams, obviously, and then Vegas just coming into the league last year. I thought that was going to be a cool rivalry with Vegas, and now it's kind of going to be ruined by the time 2021 comes around. But I'm obviously going to keep waiting till then, and obviously the team's going to be working with the league to make the transition to the Central smooth as possible. Who knows if my page will even exist by 2021. We will see, but I'll obviously still be a fan no matter what happens to this team. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I think this kind of is a stupid move on the NHL's part. The Coyotes belong in the Pacific because it doesn't really make sense moving them to the Central. Like, it could have made sense if Detroit moved to the Central because they're close, the closest team to the Central Division teams. And I think this will cost the Coyotes a lot of money for, like, travel and stuff. But I think with Seattle coming in to the Pacific, it'll make another rivalry for the Canucks with the Seattle team, which whatever they're going to be named. It's basically 3 hours apart for both teams, so like it'll be one of the next rivalries coming up in 2021.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you mentioned Detroit moving into the Central, but then who would move out of the Pacific though? Because you'd still have too many teams in the Pacific, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But
there, I kind of try to work through possible like ways that it could work out, like maybe moving Calgary and Edmonton and keeping that rivalry still there, but I guess. Since that's two teams and the Coyotes are just one, they just didn't want to do it, even though geographically I still think it sort of made sense. But obviously, like, they're moving two teams to
as well. Division. To me, it made more sense because the Coyotes, geographically, they're the closest Pacific Division team to the Midwestern United States.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, even that though was the reason why they chose the Coyotes.
They really don't have a desert. escaped, but even though some California teams do, and obviously Las Vegas, that's just going to be something funny that I thought of in my head. But back to what you're saying, Matt.
No, I finished. So.
All right, we don't need. We can cut this part out. Let me just talk real quick. I think I skipped over a segment. We need to do one. I didn't write it down on the notes, so let me find her. We forgot our Pucks on Your Stick segment.
Oh, shit.
And I didn't have a freaking question for you guys. Let me see. Since I'm the host, I will just be excluded from asking questions. So you two either ask a question to me, and like you said, you can either choose to answer the questions that's asked to you or just like skip it to the next person and say, no, you answer this, which obviously there's only three of us, so it's just the next
Let's
person.
Let's just move on to the 5-minute major.
Just don't even want to worry about the segment?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to have to cut hot sauce and pucks on your stick probably this week. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll be talking about the controversial 5-minute major call from last night's game between St. Louis and Edmonton. I'll be playing the video right now. 3, 2, 1.
Opportunity for Thomas. Thomas, nice move. Right out in front of Chum. Trying to jam it home in Bozak. The owners get the whistle. Cam Talbot down. The puck is in that pile somewhere. Take a look at this, Louis. The puck crossed the line. That's what they're looking at right now. They're taking a long look at this one to make sure it didn't cross the line. But in that hole, I call this the mosh pit. It's also when the intent to blow the whistle was for the referee. So, I mean, from those looks, I don't see anything cross the line. There was some pushing there.
After video review, it's determined that the play, the puck direct, or Cross the goal line, therefore it's a goal.
Wow. Nice job, ref.
That's basically us this entire second.
I don't know how they can override the call on the ice that was no goal, because I don't see that puck. And that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. They're going to use the coach's challenge, the challenge for goalie interference. And for me, it's the stick of Bozak pushing into the pad of Cam Talbot.
So back to the iPad we go. Not seeing it is not always important, but now we've got goaltender interference. Did that happen here?
And here it is. The question for me is under the pad right now of Cam Talbot. Who comes through and shoves the pad? Watch Bozak right there. He starts to shove, and how does he come back in that motion? There's no question there's contact with the stick of Bozak onto the pad of Talbot. Here's a better angle of it here. We'll see if he does give him a shove. That puck's underneath, and he's holding his ground, and right there, ooh, boy, I'll tell you, that puck is up for grabs. Maroon's in there as well, too. But he does push the pad. Now, the puck is there, but you can't push the pad back into the net. This is going to be another 50-50 call here, whether or not they want to take this goal back now that they've awarded it. And that was a good angle there to see that that puck wasn't completely covered by the pad of Talbot. It was there. I don't blame St. Louis for jamming away at that puck. But we've seen it before. You cannot push the pad of the goaltender back over the goal line.
After review, the call on the ice is confirmed. It's a good goal. Timeout.
As you probably heard, Louis DeBrusque commented on that, like, Bozak was pushing Talbot's pad in when the puck was under his glove. And I think this is controversial, because how can you determine it's a goal if you have no conclusive evidence, like,
exactly,
that it crossed the goal line? Because from three of their angles, you can't see the puck going across the goal line. And plus, Bozak was interfering with Talbot even after the whistle was blown. So, like, I think this should have been a no goal. What do you guys think?
Yeah, basically what you mentioned, there was really no conclusive evidence that that puck crossed the line. You cannot see the puck in any of those replays whatsoever across that goal line. But another thing you have to consider is that the officials, they have more, or the officials and the department that reviews these goals in Toronto, they have more camera angles that they show on television.
True. Well, we'll never know what Toronto does.
Yeah.
Like,
I personally think it was a good goal that they got it right. And this is basically just going off of me being a goaltender, because the way that the puck found its way underneath Talbot's pad, when you're a goal and you're in the butterfly and he was actually stretched out in that play, the puck had room to slide under his pad. And the only area it can stop moving is with his skate blade, and where his pad basically touched the ice as it was slightly lifted off. So it's going to get stuck at some point. And with the amount of amount of his leg that was like over the goal line was a substantial amount to be considered a goal, just being a goaltender, because like I said, with the way his pad and his leg was angled, there was room for the puck to slide underneath. It's going to get jammed where his pad touches the ice and where his blade touches the ice, and a good chunk of his leg was past the goalpost, like I said. When I watched it, I honestly just watched it real quick. I didn't see Bozak, like he had mentioned, the goaltender interference where he pushed him in. But at least when I saw it, Talbot like kind of had no control, just the way his positioning was, to basically stick his blade in the ice and stop himself from basically going in the net. Just off the play alone. Like, I don't know how much Bozak actually like physically forced Talbot's leg into the net. Like I said, I should have probably paid a little more attention to that. But just the way his foot was past the goal line, and where as a goaltender, where I know the puck would get jammed under your pad, I think that it was a good goal, whether you have the camera angle or not. But like you said, if Toronto has the extra angles and whatnot, this is just – normally they would say it's unconclusive evidence that we can't call the goal.
Exactly. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But just going off my mind, and if they did have the camera angles, then yes, I think it'd be a good goal.
Mm-hmm. I think we have an actual goalie to help us out with that one.
Yeah. Yep, there's just a certain point where your pad can be lifted up when you're in the five holes position, and he was stretched out, and his pad was off the ice at the time. That's why the puck slid under. It gets jammed somewhere where his pad and his blade meet, like I said. So that's just what I think personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Toronto will never reveal their ways at calling a goal.
We can't trust Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll share my pucks in deep. This is going off of Arizona because, you know, I'm a Coyotes fan. The Coyotes sent Aiden Hill, which I hope you guys have heard about Aiden Hill and his little feel-good story that he's been having with the Coyotes. Yep. He was sent down with Connor Garland. People are saying it's possibly for the roster freeze. I don't know if that really relates to this because obviously goaltending is different than the rest of your team. And I feel like the Coyotes could still be able to fit three goaltenders on their team with Kemper, Pickard, and Hill. Obviously, Hill has the two-way contract, so he's going to get sent down. So I was just kind of wondering what your take was on just being sent down in general and if he's going to get called up, and maybe just what you think about Aiden Hill on his play so far.
I think, personally, Aiden Hill has been spectacular in the games he's played with the Coyotes so far in the NHL. And I think he's been solid in the games he's played in, obviously, winning a few of them. And then calling up Pickard didn't really make any sense.
You mean claiming him?
Yeah. Even – but I get the part where they claimed him because of now looking at Ranta's injury and when he's coming back, you don't really know.
Yeah.
But, like, I understand why they got Pickard, but – at this point in time, I think Aiden Hill shouldn't have been sent down.
And like I said, do you think that's just because of the roster freeze that's coming up? Or do you think that it is also just because they don't want to roll with the three goaltenders?
Yeah, I think it's because of the roster freeze, but who knows? I think Calvin Pickard might be a good fit for Rick Tocchet's system, but like, who knows?
Yeah, that's what I'm just kind of wondering maybe what you thought, whether it was because of the roster freeze or just not wanting three goaltenders on the team in general. Because personally, like you said, we don't know. Just wondering what your opinion was. What do you think, Matt? Yeah.
I was also really impressed with his effort with the time he spent with the Coyotes. He got a shutout in his third career game, I think. I think it was his third against the Predators. And
you gotta watch that game.
I'm glad I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Oh,
no, I didn't. I can't watch a lot of Predators games these days because of hockey practice, which sucks. Believe me. Anyway, me too. I do believe that they sent him down because of the roster freeze, and the Coyotes like. We don't know how long that Antti Raanta is going to be out of the Coyotes lineup. So I think at this time, that's the best move that they could make, even with the success that Hill's had so far.
And I don't know if you guys know too much about Connor Garland, but he was sent down as well. I don't know if this was in part of the roster freeze and maybe Hinostroza or Grabner coming back. Apparently there was no indication that Hinostroza was coming back. He was listed week to week a couple weeks ago. Grabner, obviously, with his eye injury, that'll probably be weeks upon months before that heals up. So I don't know, like I said, it's the same thing for the roster freeze for Garland, but just wanted to throw that out there as well. What did you have for pucks in deep, Matt?
I wanted to focus in on the hit from what was his name? Hang on.
I think it was something Martel.
It was Martel.
Yeah.
Martel's hit to the head on Troy Stetcher. The NHL said today that they were not going to give Martel any supplemental discipline for the hit, even though if you watch the replay, Martel clearly drove his shoulder into the head of an unsuspecting opponent. And I think that the league didn't do anything, mostly because Martel was not given a major penalty for the hit.
Yeah,
he was given a 2-minute interference penalty, even though, in my opinion, I feel like it should have been a little bit harsher. I feel like he should have been suspended 1 or 2 games for the hit, considering how dangerous it could have been.
And plus, today the Canucks also announced that Troy Stetcher is in concussion protocol. So, like, how could they not call it?
Yeah.
My thoughts. You can go, Hunter.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. My thoughts on this is, looking at that replay, you can clearly see his shoulder goes right up to his head, and then when his shoulder hit his head, looking back at the full play, like, I watched some of the play, some of the plays that happened during the game, like all of the dirty plays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back at this hit, Troy Stetcher didn't have the puck at the time, and how dangerous that hit could have been, considering where and when, like, let's just say Stetcher was in stride, like, when he was hit, I think mm-hmm. it could have been more dangerous than it was now, because Stetcher was stand still when he passed the puck, and Martel hit him. But, like, I think Martel should have gotten a hearing. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree. Obviously, bringing up the injury that happened to Stretcher, that's definitely a problem that the NHL should be looking at, and they just decide not to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, did we have any more pucks in deep segments?
Are we covering I just have a question for Matt.
Oh, what is it?
With the Preds being tied at number one with Calgary and Winnipeg in the Western Conference, how confident are you with your team going ahead without the likes of PK and other players?
Well, it's obviously been hard, but we've been able to somehow hang in without having our top players with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just, in that situation, you just got to pray for their health and hope they can return as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Arvidsson's nearing his 6 to 8 week deadline with his broken thumb. So,
oof. Yeah, Arvidsson is good as well.
So Forsberg's out for
yeah
an undisclosed amount of time. Same with Subban, even though he's been practicing with the team along with Arvidsson. So, in this situation, like I said, you can only pray for their health and hope they can make it back as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Injury sucks. Yeah. That's just the
mm-hmm.
part of the game, but they suck. It goes for any team, and I just want to kind of touch on that with my team as well, if you guys don't mind. Mm-hmm. The Coyotes obviously have a ton of skill, and they got maybe Clayton Keller and Nick Schmaltz. When it comes to scoring the puck, I'm looking at our forward lines. The one decent thing that the Coyotes have is maybe considered forward depth over forward skill.
Mm-hmm.
So we need guys like Vinny Hinostroza and Michael Grabner, and they're not in the game right now. And it's a huge blow to our penalty kill when it comes to Michael Grabner being out, and just the speed and shooting that he brings every night. Because this Coyotes team really relies on everyone every night. Some teams you can have like a one line mm-hmm. that kind of carries and does most of the work.
Yeah, basically our team.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of teams have those typed lines, like the Bruins, the Avalanche. Mm-hmm. They have those top lines everyone hears about, and the Coyotes mm-hmm. don't have that. They literally have to bond together and make sure mm-hmm. that every line is there to try to produce something every night. And Hinostroza and Grabner on that third line, and without them, we have a ton of gaps in our roster, and they're just important to have, and we're missing them right now, and we've been struggling as of late, and we kind of need those guys back, and it's been rough for this team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Grabner's injury was a blow, too.
That was just an unlucky play.
Yeah.
Just the stick to the eye that just had hurt so much.
Yeah.
You guys see the picture of his eye after that?
Yeah.
That was
thankfully our graphic. Thankfully, the Flames haven't been riddled with injuries. We've had a few injuries. Like,
isn't Smith out right now?
No, Smith is back.
Smith is back, but you still have Riddick, right? In that, or is it not Riddick?
Yeah, Riddick played three games straight. We still have Yusuf Alamaki out and Michael Frolik, but, like, we have the players to fill in their spots, but, like, at the same time, losing those players is kind of a key to, like, helping the team. Like, right now, our bottom six is not really producing as much as we'd like. Like, we have one of the busts from 2013 draft, Kirby Reichel, in our lineup. We basically, like, these players are key in helping our team, but, like, some of the players from the AHL, props to, like, Ryan Huska and our new coach in the AHL, Cale McLean, for, like, developing these players. They've filled in the spots for the team. So, like, we haven't really struggled since their injuries, but, like, who knows?
All right. We're just going to kind of close things out with our considered empty net segment. We really just kind of want to thank the viewers for tuning into this first episode. Obviously, it's a huge stepping stone to building some more. Hopefully, we can gain more confidence, try to make things better, get NHL Pens in here, NHL Sens, NHL Confession, get those guys to get some more discussion besides just hearing, you know, three boring guys talk over and over again. You know, we kind of want to talk about our own teams here, but we got to keep it real for all you NHL fans.
The three guys we are missing, they're pretty much, they know a lot about hockey too, but, like, three guys tonight and then six next week. It's a good show in store for you guys next week, and thank you guys for listening. So, like,
thanks everyone for listening to our first podcast, and can't wait to do the next one with you guys and a few more other people.